Hey friends, I wanted to take a moment to tell you about my new book, Negotiation Made Simple. For the past 20 years, I have helped business people put together important deals, lawyers settle big lawsuits, small business owners grow their business by getting the most value for their product possible. And through this, I've learned a process on how to use negotiation to deliver outstanding deals. This particular book is those 20 years and everything I've learned about negotiation that's packaged in a very practical guide for solving problems, building relationships, and delivering the next deal. I hope you will jump in, buy this book, read this book, put it to work, and in doing so, you will be equipped to get better negotiation outcomes and to get what you want, not only in business, but in life as well. Go purchase Negotiation Made Simple wherever you buy books and use 2024 as an opportunity to take your next step in your negotiation success. Welcome to Negotiation Made Simple, where we help you master the art of negotiation and win the next deal. I'm your host, John Lowry. Today is part three of our series on peace. And what I'm excited about in part three is sharing with you some ideas around how is it that we create peace? What are the elements of peace? What are the areas where, as leaders and negotiators, we need to focus in terms of overcoming issues and bringing peace, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in our communities, perhaps in our homes, or maybe even the world. Peace is something worth pursuing, but it's difficult. But these three ideas, when you put them together with our last two episodes, it creates a framework in which we can be healers of conflict. We can be peacemakers in our world. So let's jump into this episode as we think about the different elements of peace. In this third part of our series on peace, I want to invite you to think with me about the elements of peace and how is it that we can create peace in our families, in our organizations, in our places of business, all the different organizations and areas where we live and work and play and lead. We've got to know how it is that we create peace in those organizations. And so today is going to be really practical. Today is going to bring it home, if you will. And as we think about leading peace, and as we think about working through the conflict that is just inherent in life, but threatens the peace that we crave for, it's really important to understand what creates this. And so as I think about this, I think about three things. The first thing is thinking about the process. You see, a lot of leaders, they jump straight to the substance. They want to focus on the issue at hand. They want to take the position on the issue, or they want to think about it analytically and determine who is right and who is wrong and whose assumptions are fair and whose assumptions are not fair. That's important, but it's not the first thing to do. The very first thing to do when you find yourself in a moment of conflict, or you find yourself in a place to where you've got disagreement, or there's a lack of peace, there's a clash, there's a disagreement, something that you have to deal with, the first thing you want to do is you want to take control of the process. Now, as you think about process, you want to think about several things. Number one, you want to think about a process that allows for maximum communication. So it's really important to keep the lines of communication open, even amongst people who may disagree with each other or who may be very hostile with each other. If you shut down the lines of communication, what happens then is people will begin to communicate to others. They're going to communicate about whatever the issue is. You just want them communicating with you as the leader or with you as the party to the dispute and not communicating with other people, or at least limiting that communication. The challenge is if there's no communication and you all are talking to others, this is the classic recipe to where there's a dispute between two people, and that dispute then evolves and becomes something much more substantial. And it could even be a dispute that divides the company or divides the team because no one got a hold of the process in terms of how to communicate about the dispute or about the disagreement. The other thing you want to do is you want to think about how it is that you can start taking steps that will be productive, or how it is that you can have some type of positive interaction despite all of the challenges that exist. Now, when you do that, you begin to put things on a more positive path. And sometimes people will go with you down that path, sometimes they won't, but you want to start that dynamic. The other thing you want to do is you want to begin to build the guardrails, and that's really important in terms of process. Building the guardrails is about making a commitment with who it is that you disagree with about the behaviors that you will and will not tolerate. Now, this is important because, especially as you find yourself in a moment of conflict with someone, you're going to want to do things to escalate it. You want to win. You want to be right. You want the decision to go your way. You want the behavior that they're doing that you don't like to stop. And so as a result of that, people are doing all sorts of things to try to gain power and to try to escalate. But those are the same things that can become very destructive. And so one of the healthy things to do, even with the person that you may be at odds with, is to establish some boundaries. And those can simply be communication boundaries, or they can be boundaries about how it is that each of you in the midst of the dispute are going to be. So if you go into my world, the legal profession, there's literally an entire industry that is focused on this, and it's the mediation industry. It's mediators. And so lawyers, in almost every dispute, will hire a mediator to help manage the process because it can be difficult. The communication can be tense. And so here comes the mediator to help with the communication and to help with the process, to try to put the dispute on a path to where it can be resolved. But mediators and really good process isn't just reserved for the legal profession. That also can be something that's part of the business world, to where if you're trying to work towards a deal, one of the things to be negotiated is how it is that you are going to set the transaction up and the process that you're going to use to work through the due diligence, to share information, to exchange offers, to deal with timelines and the timeliness of responses from each side. All of those things have to do with process, and yet all of those things are very important for deal momentum. And so if we don't get the process right, now all of a sudden deals become threatened. And as a result of that, you can find yourself in this state of conflict, or find yourself to where peace can become elusive because we don't have a good process with which to work through the issues. Organizations are starting to understand this. And that's why organizations are implementing ombudsmen, or they're implementing offices within these organizations that are just dedicated to helping to deal with some of the challenges that exist within an organization and people working together. And so I love this. I love it when you have companies that are strategic enough and you have leaders that are humble enough to say, I don't need to be in control of everything. What I do need to control is the things I can control. And often that is the process. And really savvy and strategic negotiators and leaders, they know that the key to success is to getting a hold of the process. If you do that, you are going to be in the driver's seat in terms of creating peace. Now, the next piece of this is the psychological piece of it. Now, notice, you would think I'm turning to the substance, but I'm not yet. There's another thing that we've got to think about before we even get to the substance of the dispute or what it is that's causing us not to enjoy peace. And it's the psychology. And the reason the psychology is important is because there is a host of research, and I've shared with it on this podcast before, that talks about how people make decisions. And the way that people make decisions is largely psychological. It has to do with their ego. It has to do with their fears. It has to do with their values. It's these abstract, intangible things that cause people to make decisions. And so the next thing that's really important in terms of creating peace is to help with the psychology. So one of the biggest examples is to think about fear. When people are afraid, they do crazy things. And sometimes when people are afraid, they do things that don't make a lot of sense and can be very, very destructive. And so as a result, if we're trying to create peace, we don't want people doing those kinds of things. And so we've got to next get a hold of the psychology. Now, I'm not talking about manipulating people or anything like that. What I'm talking about is how do we create space so that people can address their fears? How is it that we create space to where people can protect their egos? And so literally last week, I was in a conversation. It involved a lawsuit that I'm involved in and trying to get resolved. And there was this moment to where the plaintiffs have asked us to do something for the actual plaintiffs themselves. And there were some people on my team that really didn't have an interest in doing it. It was going to take about 30 minutes and involved just some listening. And my team was just kind of like, we'll send a couple of people and we'll just knock that out. And I said, no. Everyone's got to come. And everyone's got to come because the plaintiffs need to know that they have been heard. And they've got to know that we showed up to hear them out and that we listened sincerely and genuinely. And as a result of that, through that face-to-face interaction, some real healing hopefully can take place. And if that can happen, then all of a sudden, hopefully, we can begin to more easily deal with some of the business components around this dispute, having to do with how much money and so forth. And so here was a moment where in this context, we had a team of people that wanted to dismiss the psychological component, wanted to jump straight to the business component. And here was a moment where we had to slow things down and appreciate the need to deal with psychology. So what I call this is the people component. We've got to make sure that the people are taken care of. Now, this is easier to do when it's our people that work for our company and things like that. Harder to do when it's other people and it's people that we're in conflict with. But one of the things that can always happen is over the course of communication, we can agree to disagree, but we can also say, despite our disagreement, one of the commitments that we can make to each other is that we're going to treat each other respectfully and that we're going to listen to what the other side has to say. We're going to seek to understand all the different perspectives in this. And just by acknowledging that and leaving space for that to happen, you begin to take care of some of the psychological drivers, or sometimes even better, you give them an opportunity to come above the table as opposed to something that's just out there in the background that no one wants to talk about, but is the thing that is driving the whole dispute. The reason that people don't do this typically is because it's a little scary, because things can get messy as you start to bring emotion, as you start to bring some of these psychological feelings to the table. That can create moments that are awkward for people as emotions flow and folks can get angry. And so there's a certain level of confidence that you have in terms of inviting people to kind of share the psychological side of things and creating the space to do that. But if you do it, you're on your way to getting things resolved, because that's often what's holding people up. That's often what's causing people to pursue whatever it is they're pursuing that then creates dissension or then creates conflict as opposed to peace. So after we've dealt with the process, after we've dealt with the psychology, now we're at a place to where we can begin to deal with the problem. And this is not a situation to where if you just deal with the process and the psychology, the problem's going to go away. No, what happens is it makes it a lot easier to deal with, but you still have to deal with the problem. And so this is where creativity comes in. And hopefully this is where, if you've done the process and you've done the people component well, what you have then is you've created an environment in which the problem can be solved more easily. If there's healthy communication, it's easier to brainstorm creative solutions. If people feel safe to share what's really going on, it's easier to get on the table what you have to solve for in order for there to be peace again in your business or your home or your community, whatever the case might be. And so how well you do steps 1 and 2 is going to determine how difficult step 3 is going to be. Now, I'm in this moment all the time, whether it's sales, whether it's business, whether it's the legal world and dispute resolution. All the time I find myself in this moment to where 1 and 2 did not get dealt with very well. And so now we're literally left and we're vulnerable because we've got to figure out how to solve the problem, but we don't have the right relationships. We don't have the right communication. We don't have the right process. And as a result of that, it's much, much harder. And so many times what I have to do coming in late to this is literally back people up. And some folks get frustrated by that because they just want to try to solve the problem. But what they don't understand is that if you don't have a good process, it is more difficult to get to the problem or the resolution to the problem. Or what you see is this, and that is that people just want to try to force a compromise. And so you may solve this problem, but by solving this problem, you might create 3 or 4 other problems. You don't want to do that either. And so as a result of this, you want to get the process and the psychology right. And then you get to this moment of the problem. And this is where you want to get very, very creative. Now, at some point through this process, people are going to share their position. They're going to share what drives them. And they're going to share why. But they may not tell you the whole story because the whole story may be difficult to tell. And so what's important is to try to figure out where the common ground is and then begin to build on that common ground to make sure that you get a good understanding of kind of what's driving people. And now all of a sudden you have a good recipe for a problem-solving process. And this is where you want to get real creative. Don't be too evaluative in this moment. Don't be too critical. Don't be too analytical. What you want to do is you want to invite people to begin sharing ideas. Now, here's what happens if you do this really, really well. And what happens is there's actually what I call an intimacy to this process. Okay? I don't mean intimacy like people who are in love. What I do mean, though, is this idea of intimacy in terms of people that develop a bond after working through very difficult things. It's what you see in like the Navy SEALs. It's what you see on a sports team that has accomplished a lot. It's what you see in terms of a surgical team that has spent 8 hours trying to save someone's life. What happens is when people are in very intensely involved in trying to solve a very difficult problem, there is a natural relationship growth that happens. And so what you find is that people that do hard things, that work through difficult stuff, they actually begin to develop a stronger relationship. They may not totally like each other, but they find ways in which they can work together constructively. And as a result of that, that helps create peace. Because what happens is they get this issue dealt with, and then as they work together as an executive team per se, what we know is that there is going to be another issue. We don't know exactly what it'll look like or when it'll come, but we know it's coming. And we know it's coming to the executive team to solve. And what they learned and how they grew in terms of dealing with this particular moment will begin to set the stage for how they deal with subsequent moments. And the teams that develop this bond around doing hard things and dealing with difficult issues, those teams become more and more efficient in that process. And as a result of that, they're able to generate peace within the context of their leadership. And so, is it worth it to deal with the difficult issue? Absolutely. Not only because you'll help with that issue, but because in doing that, you will be building the understanding and the knowledge and the strength and the skills to be able to deal with more difficult issues and be able to deal with issues in a more efficient and effective way. And so as we think very practically about this idea of peace, and as we think about how it is that we create peace, we started by thinking about the continuum of conflict and thinking about how conflict emerges and how it goes through this evolution process. And we begin thinking about the different solutions, the different processes we can use to diffuse conflict and get it on a path to resolution. And then we spend some time thinking about kind of the five approaches to conflict and to begin to add strategy in this to make sure that we match the right approach to the right moment or the right dispute. And to begin to understand the importance of relationship and the issue and how it is that those work together and how we value each and how it is that the answer to that question will dictate or should dictate the strategy that we put in place. And then now today, in terms of looking forward as far as how is it that we create peace? How do we build a system of peace that can carry us forward in a more healthy way? And to do that, we've got to think about the process. We've got to think about the psychology. And then we've also got to think about how we get real creative and real ambitious in solving problems. And through that, develop the skills to be able to do hard things together as a team. And so when we look at the world, when we look at our organization, when we look at some people that we just don't get along with, those are situations to where there is never going to be a lack of conflict. There is always going to be some level of conflict. And what we want to do as leaders and as really savvy negotiators is we want to be ahead of it. We want our skill set to dictate how we respond to the conflict as opposed to the conflict managing how it is that we lead. And if we can get ahead of it, what will happen then is we will be more confident, we will be more bold, and we will be more skillful in how we respond to it. And as a result of that, your leadership will matter, and it will make a difference, and it will generate peace. And so peace, is it possible? Does it exist? It does. But it only does if there's great leaders who are skilled and equipped to make it a reality. I hope you caught the nuance of today's episode, where we were thinking about how it is that we can achieve peace and achieve a lasting peace. And if you were listening closely, you heard me emphasize the idea of process and the idea of psychology, the people component of this. And it's really important to understand that those two right there, those are the path. The problems, they're going to be resolved in a host of different ways. But the thing that is constant when it comes to peace is usually there are very good processes in place to deal with issues, and usually there is a level of respect, and there is a way that people treat each other. Those are the two things we've got to get right. And if as leaders we can get those right, we'll create an environment to where our teams, our people, our colleagues, those around us, they'll be able to solve a lot of problems and be able to generate peace. Thank you for listening to the Negotiation Made Simple podcast. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.